Good afternoon, and welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Erin Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
And today is an action-packed saga, probably fit for Hollywood, but it would have to go in the category of fiction because nobody would actually believe this was a true story.
Yeah, but you could put based on a true story.
It's just so bizarre that people would think you were making it up. And some of the stuff is just kind of, I mean, it's just crazy. You look at it and you think, God, what were they thinking?
Yeah. If I even thought about doing some of that stuff, I'd be in jail.
It's true. You know? If you emailed someone about it, they'd be on your porch.
Oh, yeah, they'd be on me.
These guys actually did it. So lots of information today from our guest, Chuck Floyd. And I did post all the Daily Caller articles about this, and there are several dozen of them. So I did put them on the webpage if you would like to go back and look through this. I'm not kidding you. This isn't boring old blah, 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 what happened on the Hill, a bunch of insider, blah, blah. I mean, this is good stuff. This is amazingly juicy and bizarre. And I don't know, Chuck, what do you think? You think they're going to get in trouble?
I mean, I kind of think
they're going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
Well, if nobody knows what he knew and nobody knows what he actually did except, even the investigators, they would have the option of just keeping the whole thing quiet and slapping everybody's wrist. But
you've got the Capitol Police, you've got the FBI, you have a whole lot of people involved in this.
No, I mean, you've got to bring it out, I would think. They couldn't hide it.
Well, okay, so let's talk about equipment.
Yeah, where is it?
Because there was a lot of it.
Yep. So, for an example, you know, he was hired in 2005. 2009, equipment started missing. From what I can go back and look at and really ascertain. Then in August 20th of 2017, the House Democrat office approved a $120,000 write-off linked to the Unwin brothers regarding the former chief of staff for Republican Clark, Democrat in New York. And so the missing equipment tied to Clark's office included iPhones, iPads, and $120,000 just for her office, just for her office. At $800 each, there would be enough for $120,000 that you would account for 150 items.
Jeez.
But she only has 16 employees.
Yeah, how's that work?
And
yet to get reimbursed for a cattleman dinner that was 20, yep. 25 bucks, you have to have 19 receipts and a canceled check.
That's it. And so this is just one Democrat office where equipment was missing. This does not account for the 70-some Democrats that were involved in this scheme.
Yeah, 79.
79.
And, yeah, it's and then let's talk about the all the equipment that the guy found he was a retired Marine.
Yeah, he's a retired Marine.
Retired Marine when he rented the house that belonged to Imran Awan. I know, I like that one too.
That is true. I mean, you know, he called the police, and I think he called the FBI too. He goes, "What is this?"
And what did he find?
He had like a garage full of stuff, right?
Yeah, he found the garage full of stuff, and they, went through it. They collected it, and, they find out a lot of it was paid for by the taxpayer. And, again, because of all of the shipments to his home, that Debbie Watson Schultz and none of the other Democrats really paid any attention to what he was doing, what he was ordering, and he had all this stuff shipped to his house, and they thought it was going to be for their office and whatever. I don't know what they thought, but nobody kept track of anything. And, I'm retired military. In the military, we kept track of every item on our property books. We knew exactly how many iPads, how many computers, how many printers, how many desks, how many chairs, et cetera, we had. Evidently, the Democrats in the House of Representatives want to tell everybody else how to do their business, but they don't want to take care of their own.
Yeah. I'm looking at the article. This was from July, that's right. July was a very good month for this story. Well, if you were following it, not if you were in it. Taggart, he's a Marine Corps veteran, moved in and said he found wireless routers, hard drives that looked like they had tried to destroy them, laptops, and a lot of brand new expensive toner. He called the authorities. Mm-hmm. FBI agents arrived with the Capitol Police to interview him and confiscate the equipment. Quote from him, he says, it was in the garage. They recycled cabinets and lined them along the walls. They left in a hurry. It looks like government-issued equipment. We turned all that stuff over.
Yep. And it's one item in there that very corresponds very, very much to Hillary Clinton. they had hard drives that looked like they were being destroyed and hit with a hammer.
Right. Surprise, surprise. And he said that Imram wanted the hard drives back so desperately that he threatened to sue him as the renter. He's a brand new renter. He threatened to sue the renter for stealing them. The Marine says, it was unbelievable. I don't know where they get off thinking they're going to sue us for items we have no obligation to hold on to. And he came to the house like three or four times, but the guy wouldn't let him in. He's a huge guy, too. The Marine.
Yeah, I wouldn't threaten that guy.
There's a picture of him on the article. It's like, huh.
It's like Rambo.
But he said, when we first moved in, a mailman came with certified mail from the House of Representatives. We were trying to be nice and signed for it. They lost their poop, saying, why did you sign for it? This is illegal. It was certified from the chief administrative officer of the House, he said. The postman came a second time with a certified letter, and I called Imram on the spot asking, what do you want me to do? He said, just send them away. I'm homeless.
I'm homeless.
I don't think he's homeless. He's a guy who owned, I mean, here you have members of Congress, you know, camped out in little 300-square-foot apartments because housing is so expensive, and all these guys in this conspiracy... All the Pakistani guys had multiple homes.
Yeah.
Homes. They were doing okay.
Yeah. Hina, H-I-N-A, a very A-L-B-I, owned two homes.
Right. How's that working? Yeah. And they never go to work.
Yeah. That's
they work
right.
Some McDonald's.
I mean, the house IT people are like, we never saw them, and we don't know really what they were doing.
That's right. And then they tried to get a second mortgage from the House Congressional Bank from where they were renting other houses, and they were trying to get a mortgage from the bank for rented houses. And they didn't even have to prove they owned the house.
What the heck? But, of course, this is all, if you go back to, you know, if we flip back over to W. Wasserman Schultz, this is all about Islamophobia, by the way.
Yes.
Just so we all get our story straight.
Yeah. That's like Hillary saying Russia's old news. It's all about sexism now. Let's just get off the Russia thing. That whole thing's taking an ugly turn.
It's all about H.W. Bush, George H.W. Bush slapping somebody on the fanny. That's what it's about. Yeah. That's the real drama here.
Let's make news about that.
He's 92, but hey, what the hell. Can we say hell? That's too late. Okay, so what else, what else in the equipment world have we missed?
Well, you know, when he was hired as a shared employee part-time to install printers and, you know, help people with their laptops when they would get them, help set up, you know, the passcodes and this and that, whatever. And it just developed into something really mega where he was the only guy that the Democrats went to, especially Deborah Wasserman Schultz, especially when she moved to the DNC. And again, you got to really go back and figure out what was going on.
Exactly.
Why did she give him this much power, this much access, and trusted him? And so again, you know, in the IT world today, we have a new thing called blockchain, and it's mainly for healthcare IT, that sort of thing, where you divide stuff into little segments. You lock it down, and then you can't hack it. And so, you know, nobody goes by any of the new tools and procedures in the House. I think the House, really, investigation has to be on the House IT, is what they're doing, why they're doing it, why didn't they know all of this, why don't they track things and know at every endpoint who's doing what.
Right.
Yeah.
Who does the House IT?
I think the Awans are going to learn about blockchain, though.
Yeah.
I do. Just a different version of it.
Who do they answer to? I mean, is there like a committee that they answer to, or are they just a congressman walks up and they just step to? Or,
there's like a ton of rules. I don't know how they got away with all this.
As far as I know, it's handled by the sergeant of arms, but, you know, I don't know all the ins and outs of all the IT stuff. I know what should be done, but I don't know what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they control things. It just looks like to me that it's very hit or miss, and they don't control anything.
No, obviously not.
But it's a hassle. I mean, to get a cell phone, to they're always doing updates. They've got all these stupid trainings you have to do. You know, don't open emails that are in foreign languages that look like they might have, I mean, there's a lot of... If you're an honest person, it looks like there's a lot of security, but apparently these guys are not. And it's funny because there was another story here beginning of September. Awan asks judge to remove GPS, citing possible emergency with kids in Pakistan. I mean,
not a flight risk.
I think that's called hubris, huh?
If you see an email from Awan, open it.
Yeah, right. Open that one first. It's going to be a good one. But you'll probably go to prison.
You know, one of the very strange things that I see is his father is called, his name is Mohammed Shah. You know, I think he died. But why did they change their name? I mean, you go back and look at the family name and everything else, and they just changed. So,
that is
very
interesting.
That is kind of weird. And then we haven't even gotten into the whole mother-in-law who said they basically held her captive.
And she sued them. And they forged the father's signature. I mean,
on what, his will, so they could snag his assets in Pakistan, right?
Right.
more. And we're going to do a little celebration of capitalism here for a couple of minutes, and so we can all get some water, because all this laughing is really drying my throat out. It's kind of making me cough a little bit. Oh, my gosh. We'll be right back with our guest, Chuck Floyd. We are talking about the Awan Brothers and Company. And if you have not followed this story, I'm sorry, but it's not too late to catch up. It's not over yet.
They're not available for hire at the moment.
Yeah, their IT services are kind of under wraps.
The sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. All day long they're saying,
we're exploiting other people's grief.
Absolutely.
I like it.
That's the best kind. Hey, Chuck, I got a question.
Good song, Bob.
How does somebody who is suspected of I would consider a fairly high-level crime, how does he get out with an ankle bracelet?
Well, that's going to be a good question. That's why I think Louis Gohmert should be really focusing in on this thing and getting Attorney General Jeff Sessions in wired up on this, and let them have a special prosecutor to go after this, because you're going to find all kinds of Democrat congressmen and women involved. You're going to find Deborah Wasserman Schultz heavily involved. You're going to find really key issues for the House IT area. And again, was this guy just a scammer and, try to take advantage of the systems and whatever? I mean, I remember growing up as a kid that, one of the famous former bank robbers was asked, why do you rob banks? And he said, well, that's where the money is.
Maybe he figured out where the money is.
Bonus.
Yeah, and so, you know, this, you know, he's a Pakistani, you know, now he's an American citizen, you know, he's fine at work. He could really get in and do something and not have accountability.
You can't blame a guy for trying, huh?
You know, I'm not in law enforcement or anything, but when you
have you stayed at a Holiday Inn Express?
I have played one on TV. you turn somebody like that loose, and it seems to me that you're just giving them the opportunity to run around and talk to all parties involved and get the story straight for when.
Well, the good news is they suck at it, so.
Well, that's true.
It's probably not going to help them all that much.
Maybe that's why they gave him an ankle braces. They're going to see.
Please go meet with
everybody.
They're
going to see where the crumbs go. Ah, it's crazy.
Well, it was crazy because when he was put on the GPS and all that and he was arrested, I'm looking at the article on that, and Wasserman Schultz's quotes are priceless. She said it's absurd to conclude he was fleeing the country. They were being persecuted. Their children were being bullied at school. They were experiencing things I was concerned about in terms of racial, ethnic, and religious profiling. Really?
Wow.
And so this caused them to have multiple homes and start a car business called the CIA and deal with Hezbollah. And I mean, what the heck?
I mean, you know, I started really focusing in on this in January through March of this past year and warning people in the administration and other organizations. Judicial Watch was very instrumental in trying to get information. But back in January, Awan called his bank from the Longworth House building trying to impersonate his wife. in order to transfer $283,000 into Pakistan to two other individuals.
Huh.
And so when his bank said, well, what's the reason? He goes, well, I have to make funeral arrangements. And then the bank operator, the person at the bank said, it's going to cost that much for a funeral? He goes, oh, no, well, we're going to buy property also. And so
while we're at it,
we're going to do a little shopping.
Yeah, and so they transferred almost $300,000 way back in January into two other people's names in Pakistan.
Hmm. Unbelievable. And so tell me this. How exactly do you think Wasserman Schultz is getting away with this so far? She's looking a little haggard, though. I don't think it's actually wearing well on her.
I think she's very worried. I think if the DOJ will start investigating this, they're going to see a long trail of things that she and many other Democrats do not want out in the open. So, you know, from this radio show or from Gohmert's House committee hearing, something has to happen and really have a fresh eyes and investigation in on this thing and follow this all the way from 2005 all the way to now, because there have been multiple crimes, all kinds of things going on in the shadows of protecting this guy.
You know, I know there's a lot going on with the AG right now, and there's plenty of things to investigate. It just seems kind of odd to me that something of this magnitude, and you know, maybe it's not a big deal, maybe this stuff goes on all the time, doesn't sound like it to me, but it seems like the AG would have already been involved or at least started some kind of an investigation into this. Do you think Sessions is on it, or do you think he's just waiting to see what is it, the FBI or the Capitol Police or whatever they turn up?
I know the Capitol Police, FBI have been involved. You know, if they're putting, I don't know whether they're putting priority on this, but they should, because not only did he misappropriate it and did she misappropriate, taxpayer funds, stolen property, there's huge national security issues from this.
All joking aside, yes. Absolutely.
And so that is very important for the IC community and many others. And so this has to be investigated and has to be followed the entire trail to really correct this and make sure that the House IT, both the House and the Senate IT enterprises are secure, because right now they're not.
No. No, obviously.
And what about all the houses and the property and all that? Are they still... I haven't seen anything come through that those assets were seized or any of that. Right now it's all sort of, you know, hanging.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything where they've been forfeited or seized. I would assume that they're just in limbo right now, waiting for the investigation and what's going to happen to him and whether he's going to forfeit all that money back to the federal government for what he stole. So I don't know, but you know, that's, yeah, I have no idea.
Right. Well, and he used different names, threatened to harm his stepmother when he, signed over his dad's will and went and stripped all the assets from there. But she said that he and the brother had her as like a virtual prisoner. They said they can do whatever they want. They have so much power. Mm-hmm. If she tried to thwart them or called the police or whatever, that they'd, I don't know if they said they'd kill her, but I think it was right in there.
Right. Yeah, they denied her access to the hospital where he was. And then, he also, signed his father's name. And so, again, all this stuff is, not legal. And with her complaint to the local Fairfax police, that's where a lot of this stuff started. Her name was Samina, S-A-M-I-N-A.
Uh-huh.
Now, has the rest of the family pretty much left the country, or are they still present and accounted for?
As far as I know, his one brother left. The rest of the family is still here, and all his friends and others that he had hired are still here. And so, again, the FBI and other law enforcement agencies can grab them, question them, put pressure on them, and put pressure on him.
Well, on the 4th, our good friend, the reporter, Luke Rosiak there, he said that the House Democrats ordered the systematic falsification of records showing how they spend their taxpayer-provided office budgets. And that seems to be kind of a theme, and that starts to make sense. One of the quotes in here is, the only reason you're not seeing charges is because the Democrats who employed Imran Awan are not cooperating. A senior Republican, and this was from a senior Republican congressional official.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
that is, you're absolutely correct, because if you look at who's at Gomer's hearings, no Democrat shows up.
Big shocker.
Mm.
That's a yeah.
Well, they never heard of the guy. Never heard of him.
What?
What?
Yeah. What?
M who?
Yeah. He never showed up for work. We didn't pay. Yeah. What? They paid him. Oh, those idiots in personnel. Are you kidding me? It all drops on HR.
Oh yeah.
Those dummies. They paid him. Yeah, I mean, there's all this inventory control that should be going on that wasn't, and then the money, just the money, the massive data. When we come back, can you talk about some of the data that's stored offsite and why that's such a big deal?
Sure.
I think most people would kind of know it's a big deal, but maybe you could explain why, because we don't deal with that so much. All right. I don't know. I feel like I'm laughed out, but it's going to come back.
Oh, I'd
take a little break that segment. I couldn't laugh anymore. It's just starting to hurt. We'll be right back.
You're holding back on me. when you say you're giving all. And in the dungeons of your mind, who you got chained to the wall. Tell it all, brother, before we fall. Tell it all, brothers and sisters.
Spill it, a warm family. Ah, the Awan family theme song. At least we hope. So in the hypocrisy section of the program, I found a lovely quote in one of the articles here from their attorney. He says, there's nothing that Imram did that wasn't requested by one of his clients on house staff. Huh, imagine that. So then in commentary, the reporter says that the House members' muted response is difficult to square with the fact that Democrats were the ones whose data was in jeopardy, and they have spoken passionately about the importance of cybersecurity, particularly in the context of Russia, Russia, Russia. 15 of the 17 female members of Congress tied to the Awans would not even express concern to the Daily Caller when provided with police reports showing multiple women called the police on Imram, with one saying she felt, quote, like a slave. Where are those women's rights and those pink hats and all that stuff? Huh. All right. So.
Because nobody picked them to be part of the harem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In other news, back to you, Chuck.
Well, you know, you just talked about his attorney, Christopher Golan.
Yes.
He made a statement that his client had a very lax environment surrounding security products in the house, so he could not be held responsible.
But he was
the cybersecurity expert, supposedly.
Really?
Nobody ever told him he couldn't do that, so he didn't know.
You know what? He was a slob, and he was a little absent-minded, and he lost all the equipment. He can't possibly be expected to know where it is.
Well, where he comes from, all that stuff's okay. So he just assumed that, you know, you couldn't do that here. And
What?
And you know, one other thing I want to talk about on the computer equipment, he had certain vendors bill the house below $500, because if you bill above $500, then it's tracked. And so he would have iPads and others that cost $800,000-$900,000 or whatever. He had the contractors bill him $499. And then they both build multiple invoices for those items.
Sure.
And so he tried to keep it below the radar screen. And so, again, this guy was, you know, really, he knew the rules. He knew what was going on. And he tried to really circumvent the rules and regulations at every corner.
So apparently that part of the training, he paid attention. The other part about the security, he left the room.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. And you know, just to make sure your listeners really realize what was going on, all of his family members were paid between $157,000 and $168,000 a year, and the highest paid congressional staffer is only paid $174,000. And these guys, only he had IT experience, graduated from college. All the rest of them did not have any formal IT training whatsoever.
Huh.
And they were hauling down that kind of taxpayer. I mean, people's wallets should be crying right now.
That's it. Absolutely. And, you know, you just wonder, you know, why did she protect him? What was she hiding? What did he have on her? As far as that she did not want exposed.
Well, she doesn't particularly strike me as a stupid woman. So I mean,
he's got to have something.
There's
got
to be
great on her.
Got to be something.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just
want to bring that up before we go on into the other areas.
We don't want to leave any candy jars untapped at the candy store. Okay, so what about stowing data offline? Why would you do that? And I mean, besides the obvious doesn't sound like a good idea, what is the risk?
If you look at hackers, they hack information from hotels, from Equifax, from, you know, even OPM, you know, and so they gather all this data and then they sell it on the dark web. And so on the dark web, you can go on and see if your information is there. I mean, China hacked OPM and my information and everybody else's information from OPM is there. And so that's already gone. And so the individuals, the hackers, will put it on the dark web and they'll sell it, you know, to people that want information financially. They want information on who's who, what jobs do you have, what kind of social network do you have, so that they can map out who in the government is doing what. And then they can get in through your kid's computer, your personal computer, your personal iPhone or whatever, into the government systems that they want to get into.
Well, yeah, they just basically, you know, especially on the social media side, which I never understood why people put so much information there, but, no. You know, they get that information, and then guess what? Somebody bumps into you at the coffee shop, strikes up a conversation, next thing you know,
bing,
boom, 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 and...
Well, the OPM leak, the Office of Personnel Management, I get these confused because there's been so much of this stuff, but weren't they the ones that had their programming created by a Chinese company and then magically the Chinese hacked it?
Yeah, that was part of it. But again, OPM was warned 2 years in advance that their system was not secure and they needed to do something, and they never did.
And those are all federal employees' records?
Yes. Well, all federal employees, all retired military, all kinds of stuff. You know, all federal employees,
sure.
Yes.
Now, when you say records, are we talking name, address, phone number, taxes? I mean, how deep does that go?
Well, if they're personal management, they do your direct deposit, they got your bank account and everything else.
Yeah, they have everything. They know where you live, they know everything. Because, you know, when you OPM, they have your full record.
Yeah, and that is so dangerous.
Yeah, so that's why this blockchain is so important, because if OPM has certain records, they shouldn't have your financial and other things, and then the agencies that pay you should have that and not the other stuff. So, again, you know, when federal government started sharing information with all the different agencies, again, sometimes it's good, but lots of times it's bad, because the hackers can get in through one agency and then they go to another agency to get the information.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, sharing. Overrated.
But you'll get names of people that, you know, may not want other people to know who they are and what they do. And
sure.
You put their home address and everything down. I mean,
not helpful.
You're just looking for disaster. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you look at China, Russia, all these nation-state hackers, they want to know who is in the government. They want to know who's in what industry, because, you know, the Chinese hack Boeing. They hack everybody. So, you know, they want to know who's who and how do they get in through these different networks and channels in order to get copies of planes to, you know, IT stuff to, you know, whatever they want. And so the Chinese have been doing this for years and years and years. We know it, and that's why President Trump is so intent on shutting down the Chinese because of the IP issue.
Yeah, see, and so when they're taking this data off the house server and putting it offline, are they just storing it there so they can sell it, go through it later? I mean, what's the...
all of the above.
They can do
all
that stuff.
Above.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Because one hacker will provide information, or another hacker will provide information, and if it's a nation state, they have different agencies in the nation state, you know, going into different agencies and computer systems, and they'll bring all that back together, and then they'll run it and compare it. Then that way they have more information about what's going on and who's who.
Jeez. So. What are the, I mean, I'm sure it says in the rules that you can't take things off the house server and store it. So if they find that they've done that, what kind of a crime is that? I mean, besides cybercrime. Well, like, is that a big crime? A medium? Is it extra large, large, medium, small?
Well, I think you'll have to ask Hillary Clinton, because she did it at State Department and nothing's happened to her.
Yeah, yeah. So, did set a bad precedent there.
is the government good about following up on people breaking the law? No.
Yeah, it's kind of like California with, you know, car thefts and all that. You know, they reduce the penalty for all sorts of felonies. So, you know, now
so you don't have as many people in prison.
Now we don't have a lot of felonies anymore. I was at a law enforcement meeting the other day in our area up here in Northern California. It's probably happening elsewhere too, but I know for sure it's happening here. They are literally stealing cars just to drive from one place to another. So they don't have to take the bus.
You could get a ticket for that.
they're not really stealing the car to keep it so that they have a car. They're just like, I need to get from this town to that town. I'm going to steal your car, drive over there,
and just
leave it and do my, do my drug deal or whatever I'm doing, visiting my friends, stealing a different car to go home. Because nothing happens.
It's like bike share in Washington, D.C.
There you go.
Exactly.
Everything about Washington, D.C. is coming out here. What the heck?
Check the saddlebags on those bikes. There might be a laptop in there.
Yep. Totally. Check for Imram's ankle bracelet. You might be making his GPS active. So, crud, we've got to take another break for capitalism. Darn capitalism keeps popping in.
Bite your tongue.
I know. Good capitalism. It's just so inconvenient. Inconvenient capitalism. All right, we'll be back with our guest, Chuck Floyd. We are talking about the Awan brothers and the massive, wide-ranging scandal that is involved in that. You can find all that information at wethepeopleradio.us.
Put me in jail if I fail to give you all the love that's yours. Put me in jail if I fail in loving you. I stood before the jury. It was an ugly scene. 'Cause they could see right through me how lonely I had been. So put me in jail if I fail to give you all the love that's yours. Put me in jail.
That awesome. Brings and Schultz and me.
And that brings me to my next alert. This would be the multiple girlfriend alert. Apparently, Mr. Awan, he wasn't running a car dealership called the CIA and doing business with Hezbollah and swiping all sorts of computer equipment and getting his family members ghost IT jobs with 79 members of Congress, he had two girlfriends on the side. He was, this guy was probably under a lot of stress.
Yeah, it could be.
I mean, it makes perfect sense why he left all that stuff in that guy's house that he rented to
him. Tried to get out of the country.
He got all tangled up. He had girlfriends that were mad at him, and his mother-in-law said he tried to hold her captive.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that.
So, Chuck, what do you think the timeline here is? Any guesses as to how long it's going to be before DOJ cracks this thing and it hits the front page, because it's really been kind of a back story.
This has been the simmering pot.
Yeah.
Well, I've thought a lot about this, and my main question is, why hasn't Speaker Ryan and others in Congress put a hard court press on this thing? Why haven't they said anything about it? Why haven't they pressed the issue?
Yeah.
You don't see anything in the media. You don't see anything in the Washington Post or anywhere else, any of the reporters going after this except for a couple. And so, you know, unless Speaker Ryan and members of the House really put a focus on this issue, I don't think anything's going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is amazing.
Here just, 2 weeks ago, the polygamy charges came out. I mean, there's just, this is everything. Everything.
Yep.
And it involves massive amounts of data. If they have, we never did talk about the 123 at mail.house.gov. He's got some sort of secure access.
Still has access.
Sounds like he still does. Do you know about that one?
Mm-hmm. I think they pulled everything from him. As far as I know, they have. But again, I don't know everything. But from what I understand, they pulled it.
Okay.
And you know, it's just like the Uranium One deal. Why didn't the House and the Senate do investigations, all of this stuff, way back then?
Yeah.
I mean, they've known about this for 2 years in the House, and Speaker Ryan and others have not brought it to the attention of the American people. I don't know whether they want to cover it up or whether they just know that the IT system at the House is so poorly run that they don't want the light shined on it. I don't know what the problem is, but they've got to step up to the plate and really spearhead this thing so that DOJ does their job, and we need to see some hedge roll.
Well, and I don't, what's the connection with Capitol Police, FBI, and all that? I mean, I realize they're all different, but they all seem to be going after the same thing.
Well, again, it's just like what's going on in Las Vegas. You don't hear one word about anything anymore about that whole episode out there.
That's true.
And so the House is supposed to follow protocols with the Capitol Police, and then from there they get an FBI and others involved in whatever. And so, again, it's territorial, it's divided up, but somebody's got to take this thing and run with it and be in charge.
Yeah. Well, if FBI has all of those, I mean, I try to be understanding that the process isn't always public, but is it possible that the FBI is working on it with all the stuff that they've gotten from all the hard drives and the laptops and all these things? Could they be working on it and we're just not seeing anything? Is it like
it could be
ducks,
I mean,
where their feet are moving fast under the water?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, the FBI is really involved in a lot of things from the Obama administration. So who knows? But, again, I think the Attorney General needs to put a focus and tell the American people that there is a focus on this particular issue, because it is a national security fraud, waste of taxpayers' money, and people really need to go to jail on this.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. I mean, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is like a mafia don. You know, she was heading up the DNC and doling out ghost IT workers. You will have this one, you know, hire them. They're never going to show up and write off this equipment. And, you know, it looks like people have been pressed into doing all sorts of things they can get in trouble for. So there's got to be something big underneath the surface of this iceberg.
I totally agree with you, and they got an investigation to see where it leads, because they are hiding valuable information on probably things illegally that they were doing, and they don't want anybody to know about it.
Yeah, and it's entirely possible. You know, a lot of these investigations go on for years before they actually pull the trigger. You know, they're going to have all their ducks in a row and everything ready to roll before they make it public. So I guess we can only hope that they are working on it.
But the main guys have to be, I mean, have they, I haven't really paid attention exactly to the charges. So he's on a GPS, but what's he been charged with?
That I don't know. I don't know exactly what he's been charged with.
I don't think it's ever said. I don't think I've ever read anything.
It's not public. Yeah, it's not public. We don't know.
This thing is just too big to just disappear and go away. I think there's there's something's gonna blow wide open on this one, because I truly believe there are players involved in this that are not gonna go to jail for the people at the top, and I think we all know who that.
Well, I think leaving the IDs and the laptop and all that in the Rayburn building, that I mean, hey, if I was a bad guy, I'd be telegraphing my move by doing something like that.
I mean, you're getting more leaks out of Mueller's office than you're out of this.
Yeah, true. True story. This has been pretty quiet, but I have to say, you got to know something's going on under the surface, because not that she was ever a looker, but Debbie Wasserman Schultz is looking pretty haggard these days.
Yeah.
Every time you see her, it's like, ooh, boy.
Not looking bubbly.
Nah, she's looking a little rugged. So the pressure's got to be mounting. Yeah. Well, we really appreciate you spending the time with us today.
Yeah, no kidding, Chuck. Thanks for coming on.
This has been an amazing story.
We're going to follow this, and we're going to need you back for an update for sure.
Yeah, you know what? If you do hear anything that's going on, maybe that, you know, isn't out in the... I mean, I seriously, I get the daily caller updates on my phone, on my computer, on my work computer. If they write anything, boom, it pops up, because I don't want to miss the next installment of the Awan brothers. But if you hear something, we want to know.
Okay. We want the exclusive.
I'll keep everybody informed as far as what I hear and what I know. And you do the same. You know, we just got to make sure that we put the pressure on and to make sure that DOJ does their job on this thing and, you know, get Speaker Ryan to really push this thing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we really appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Chuck, for joining us. And it was a pretty fun time. I mean, you know, we took a bad story and we had a pretty good time with it. So
we laughed a lot.
If we get any points for mocking, I believe we got a 10 from the East German judge today.
Thanks,
all right,
Chuck.
Well, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Have a great afternoon.
Okay, take care. Bye.
All right, folks, we'll be on with something else fun next week. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
You're listening to KCNR's Shasta Redding.